We're going to go a little bit backwards tonight than what we were this morning. We're going to go back to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 16. And we'll be reading verses 19 through 31, through the end of the chapter. Luke, chapter 16, verses 19 through the end of the chapter. There was a couple of sermons that was on my heart to preach tonight, and obviously I can't preach both of them. I pondered on it and I thought about it, and this is the one that I ended up with. I was wanting to be just a little bit light tonight because it felt like this morning was a little heavy. And, you know, worshiping the Lord is fun. And a lot of times we need good laughter. I don't know if you ever heard of Reverend Grady Nutt. Anybody ever heard of Reverend Grady Nutt? Anybody ever see Hee Haw? Okay, Reverend Grady Nutt was on Hee Haw. And his last tape, I've got it at home, and the last thing he says he was down in a little place in Tennessee, and on an old barn board he found these words written. And he said if they ever opened up the Bible again for canonization, he wanted to get this put in there. It's not biblical, but it's good. He said that it was written on there, said, "Laughter is the hand of God on the shoulder of a troubled world." And that's pretty awesome. Laughter is the hand of God on the shoulder of a troubled world. And you know, when you're troubled and when things don't seem to work right, when you get that hand of God or hand of a brother, that's pretty awesome. And it just really seems to make the troubles go away. And that's what laughter is good for. I love to laugh. Chapter 16, beginning with verse 19. It says, "There was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid up at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the man's table, from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham said unto him, They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto them, If they will not hear, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, I want to thank you again for allowing us to come out tonight. Father, I ask that your anointing would be on me again. Father, that you would just pour your oil from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet. Father, just anoint me in a way that as I speak your word, that your Holy Spirit would take those words and touch the hearts of those who are here. Father, preparing them, even this day, for what they might face this week. Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit would be with every part of this service, and may everything that's said and done be done for your glory and your honor. And Lord, I thank you and I love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Turned it down, didn't you? Okay. I'm not used to using one of these. My media guy, John, has on his recorder, his video machine, has a mic on it. So therefore, I don't really have one like this, and sometimes we use the wireless mic. So I'm free to use my hands. And I lost my page when I picked up the Bible. Bear with me just a moment while I find Dr. Luke. Here we go. This is some stories that, Jesus sometimes taught in some interesting ways. And sometimes he would teach a story, and it was one of those kinds of stories that would make you say, Well, that's odd. And sometimes he taught stories and he taught parables that had something to do with everyday life. The parable of the sower. Those folks lived in an agricultural society, and when he talked about the parable of the sower, everyone knew what he was talking about. It made sense to them. But he told this parable, and this parable was one of those parables that made him say, "What?" Because the Jewish idea of the day was that if you were rich, then you were blessed by God. By the same token, if you were poor or bad things happened to you, then God was judging you for some reason. Hence the idea, if someone had fallen into a ditch, your average, good, well-meaning Jew would not help them out. Because if they were in the ditch, then God put them there. And if you help them out, then you're going against what God wants. So you're going against God. So they had a good reason for it, I guess. But here he talks about the rich man. And this rich man, according to all Jewish tradition, would have been blessed by God, or he wouldn't be rich. And so let's look at this. The first point I want to make is that God reverses the standard of this world. God reverses the standard of this world. It says, "There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day." He was clothed in purple. Where I live in Louisville, if you're clothed in purple, it means something totally different than what it means right here. Clothed in purple in Jesus' day meant that you were well-to-do, that you were rich, that was the dye and the color that only the rich people could afford. And fine linen. Talks about his undergarments were linen. And we're not talking about just your average tablecloth kind of napkin kind of linen. We're talking expensive stuff. So I guess for all practical purposes, he had Pierre Cardin underwear. I don't know if they had such a thing back then. But, he was well-dressed. He was, as they would say in some circles today, he was GQ, right? Is that right? Yeah, he was all that, and then some, okay? And he had these wonderful parties at his house. Now, let me explain to you a little bit about Food Network of Jesus' day. How many watch Food Network? You don't watch Food? Do you watch Food? I love the Food Network because I love to cook. You know, and my wife, I absolutely love cooking. Guys like cooking in here? Got a couple here that likes to cook. I love to cook because I like to eat. That's why I like to cook. My wife, it's so funny. She has gone so long without cooking. She used to be a good cook. She really did. I married her. I was 145 pounds, 5'8". She was a very good cook. Okay. 100 pounds later and a few inches, she was an excellent cook. But Food Network of the day, well, let me explain to you what it was. The rich people were very rich, and the poor people were, very poor. Now, you know, I heard a preacher one day talking about the difference between poor and poor. Okay? You hear people say that they're poor. Okay, poor means that you can't afford that new Lexus. Okay, poor means you can't afford the new shoes. Okay, so this guy,
the poor people, what they would do for entertainment. I mean, these folks were hungry. They couldn't afford to get anything to eat. And the rich people had these little walls around their house and around their courtyard. And they would sit there and eat these sumptuous meals, and the poor people would stand there and watch them, and their mouth watering. And just, that was Food Network of the day. Okay, they got to see all this wonderful stuff. And you know, I can sort of associate with that. John and I were coming through Chicago yesterday. I saw a restaurant owned by one of my favorite chefs. You know who that is? Wolfgang Puck. Oh, he's good. Emerald's better, but Wolfgang. And I wanted to go in there and get something. John didn't want to do it, so we didn't do it. But here's Lazarus, and he's laying at the gate of the rich man. And this rich man is very, very rich. I mean, he's the Donald Trump of the day, okay? Someone said that Donald Trump was basically broke. Well, so I guess back when Donald Trump had money. I don't know. I didn't hear that. But and he fared sumptuously every day, which means he didn't have a bad day. Imagine that. Most of us have a bad day, sometimes every day. Sometimes we have a bad day just once or twice a week or a month, or you get up, you know, and you didn't sleep well. You got that little pee under your mattress kind of thing. It's like, well, you're grumpy and you got a bad day. He fared sumptuously every day. Now here was this beggar man named Lazarus. Now this is not the same Lazarus that Jesus brought back from the dead. It's a totally another Lazarus. Okay, this is another guy named Lazarus. There was more than one Lazarus back in those days. And this was the other Lazarus, I guess. Like John is the other John, this was the other Lazarus. Says, which was laid at the gate full of sores. I can't imagine anything more miserable than being full of sores. And when I read that, you know who I thought about? Who in the Bible was just covered with sores? Job. You know, and the Bible says that Job had so many, he had sores from the top of his head, like boils, to the bottom of his feet. And said he would take potsherds. Now, you know, a potsherd is you take a piece of pottery and you break it and you got this shirt. And he would scrape himself with these things. Can you imagine? Just miserable. Just miserable. And he's laying at this gate and he's watching the crumbs that fall from the rich man's table. And he's just, oh, just if he could just get something. And it goes on here. Look what it says. It says, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. Now, most of us would go, I don't really care for dogs anyway. I was talking with Brother Darrell earlier, and I come from a farm. I'm an old farm boy from the mountains of Virginia, and I grew up hunting. I got my first gun when I was 13, and I got that gun to put meat on the table with. Squirrel, rabbit, just whatever, coon, it didn't matter. And that's what we had for dinner. And I was sharing with Brother Ron today that when I went in the military, I was 17 years old, went through the basic training, and halfway through basic training, I walked into the mess hall, and they were feeding us steak and baked potato, Brother Darrell. While when I grew up, that was rich people food, steak. Now I had squirrel steak, rabbit steak, and chicken steak when I went out in the yard and killed it. But this was beef steak. And I said, man, they're going to feed us like this. I'm not leaving. 24 years I stayed in there. Over some steak. But here's this poor Lazarus, and says the dogs were licking his sores. Now, I told you this morning that back in Jesus' day, one of the strongest medicines that people knew of was human spit. Or was spit in general. Okay? So when Jesus took the dirt and he made clay out of it, he was making medicine. Especially Jesus. Anything to do with Jesus is going to be medicine, okay? But in that day, that was considered medicine. And dog spit was the best. I mean, that was, if you had a... What Jesus is saying, that even the dogs were ministering to this guy at the gate and taking care of his needs. That's the point that Jesus is making. Most of us, like I said, when we think about a dog licking their sores, oh, get out of here, nasty things. You know? But that wasn't the case. That wasn't the case. And so he says here that, and his desire to be fed from the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. I'm assuming that the rich man did feed him every now and then, because it didn't say that he didn't. But he didn't treat him like a brother. And that's what God wants us to do. Treat one another like brothers and sisters. And that's Jesus' whole point here. Which brings me to the second point. It says, a terrible fate for someone who wasn't mean. It's a terrible fate for someone who wasn't mean. First of all, it was a terrible fate for Lazarus. Lazarus lived his life in misery, hungry, just covered in sores, just absolute, and food just right there. Just if I could just right there, could smell the steak. One of the wonderful things I like about the down home is we have a lot of Texas roadhouses. Anybody ever been near a good Texas roadhouse? Oh, you can get 2 miles away from that Texas. Oh, and that old dead cow, that is just, oh, it's cooked to perfection. Just, oh. And so there he is laying at the, and just, he could just smell the food and didn't get any. Wasn't fair to him. That's a terrible fate for someone who, as far as we know, Lazarus wasn't a mean person. Just bad things happened to him. And you know, that happens to good people today. Bad things happen to good people. And it's just not fair. It's just not fair. That little 3-year-old girl I told you about this morning, it's not fair that she's laying in a hospital because some guy who was the boyfriend of her mommy put her there. That's just not fair. But sometimes God allows things to happen. And we don't know why. We don't know why. A part of God turning or changing, reversing the standard of this world. A lot of times, and we were just talking about this afternoon. If I'm praying, God, heal someone, a friend of mine. We were praying for healing for Brother Ron. Lord, just heal him. Well, what is ultimate healing? To go on and be with the Lord. It doesn't get any better than that. Can you imagine? And I'm going to switch gears right now to the other Lazarus. You know the other Lazarus, the one that died and was in the grave for 4 days. Can you imagine? He was, I can imagine him, Brother Darrell, just in there talking to Abraham. You know, just talking to him, talking to Moses, you know, talking about, you know, what was it like when you held up the rod and the Red Sea just parted? What was that like? What was it like to get so close to God that your face just shines? What was that like, Moses? And just talking to the old prophets, Elijah. Dude, what about that ride he left here on? You know, a flaming chariot. Now, I'm one of those guys. I love to drive fast. I do. We had a pastor's race in Louisville, Kentucky. They used to have a racetrack there, and Pastor Ron Lastly, who was known as the faster pastor, he was a race car chaplain, and he drove a race car himself. Well, each year he set up with all of the pastors in Louisville that wanted to, and you could get in the race car and you would race one another. It's all pastors out there on the racetrack. And it's just awesome. You know, I mean, it's only 8 laps, and just 8 laps around a 4/5 mile track is just not enough. You know, I just wanted to keep going. chariots. I love. Can you imagine a life taken up in a fiery chariot? You know, I can just imagine Lazarus. Dude, what was it like? You know, I don't know if they said dude back then, but it sounds like a pretty good thing. And here's Lazarus' sisters. Lord, if only you'd been here, my brother wouldn't have died. And if Lazarus could hear him, hush! Would you hush? That's what I'd be saying if I could. Quit! So Jesus goes and he starts in, and it says, you know, the strongest verse in the Bible, Jesus wept. That's awesome. Jesus wept. That's awesome. You know, guys, it's not a bad thing to cry. It really is not. Feels great sometimes. Especially when you're happy. I remember when my daughter got married. I mean, there was snot and tears everywhere. You know, and I wasn't sad. I was happy. You know, it was a wonderful thing. My son got married, my youngest son got married in June, and we just absolutely love his wife. We've loved her. They dated for 4 years. And so, you know, I told him one time, I said, look, if you leave her, you're moving out and she's moving in. We just, you know, we just love that girl. And she came down in the church, there were some stairs, and she came down this, and she was just so beautiful. Brides always are. Right? I've done, I don't know how many weddings. I've never seen an ugly bride. I don't know how they do this thing. Because I've seen people who really weren't all that pretty. But the brides are always beautiful. And she came down that aisle and I started to fight back tears. You know, I'm supposed to do the wedding, you know, and I'm fighting back tears. I just looked at the boy and said, boy, I'm so proud of you. And I lost my train of thought. Isn't that terrible? Anyway, there's Lazarus, and he's in the grave, and Jesus, Lazarus, come forth. That's a pretty good one. And I can see Lazarus in there. No! No! Moses, what was it? No! What?
Lazarus, come forth.
And here comes Lazarus.
You know he was wrapped up in clothes.
Yeah. Had some B.O. going on like you wouldn't believe. And he comes out. I'd have been mad. Bible doesn't say anything from there. Just goes on from there. Just to say that the scribes and the Pharisees were mad at him after that. But here he is. Here Jesus is talking about this Lazarus here. And all of these things, he's had a rough life. It's just not fair. And it says, it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels unto Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried. You know, what usually happens when rich people die? Oh, you remember Princess Diana died? It was a week long, month long. 2 years later, they're still showing this thing. You know. 99, they were still showing it. No, they're still showing it today, all these years later. Talking about how she died. Rich people die, or poor people die. Oh, they just get planted and that's it. It's over with. But who died? Who was that? But look what happens here. It says that the rich man died. And was buried. You know what? Death. Death is the ultimate level for the playing field. There's two times when the playing field is level. The first time is at the foot of the cross. There's no color. There's no race. There's no bad. There's no good. Once you get to the foot of that cross and the blood of Jesus lands on you, hey, it's all everybody's level. Nobody's better than somebody else. And the second time is when you die. Don't matter how much money you had when you were alive, you can't take it with you. And a lot of people, we got this big mass. Who here likes to go through graveyards and look at tombstones and stuff? Yes, my wife is the same way. There's this old graveyard there. No, it's a cemetery, but you know, back home we call it a graveyard. This old cemetery there in Louisville, Cave Hill is the name. There are monuments there. They're like a story high. Yeah, just, and it's, why? It doesn't mean anything. I don't know who that is with the name on there. And probably nobody else that goes in there knows who they are. Somebody knew who they were, but they wanted this legacy. But this rich man, he didn't get anything. Just as he had a funeral and was gone. But he went into hell. He went into hell. And when he's there, think about it. Look at what it says. And in hell he lift up his eyes, seeing being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. That is miserable. That there's not a lot of water can go on the tip of your finger. But just that little bit, he said, just if you can just give me that, it'll be a blessing. Just that much. That's terrible. There was a minister one time, an evangelist, and when he really got on fire for the Lord from a dream that he had had, and in that dream, he said, I was at the gates of hell. And he said, you weren't there. And he said, as I looked in, he said, all I could see was eternal punishment. And the people were miserable and just utter torment. And he looked at Satan. He said, please just give them a little bit of relief. And Satan smiled and said, there is no relief in hell. And he said they were working and working and working and working and working and working. And he said they were just so tired. Have you ever been so tired that you fall asleep at a stop sign? I've been there. I've been so tired that I go from work to home and don't know how I got there. And that's scary, especially in Louisville. And he said they were so tired. And he said, please just give them some rest. And Satan smiled and said, there's no rest in hell. And he started to cry. And he was sharing this with his sister. And he said, and I saw Daddy over there. Because his daddy had died and wasn't saved. He said, and I saw Daddy over there. You know, that would get you excited about telling everybody. And that's exactly what this rich man is doing. He's saying, Father Abraham, it goes on here and he says, but Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime received good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. Now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. And then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, and that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. No one is going to want to be there. And you know, once you die, it's too late. It's too late. You can't tell your brothers and sisters. You can't tell those that you love. It's too late. It's too late. The Bible says that is appointed unto man once to die, and after that the judgment. Now, what is death? I was talking with someone one day about the lie that Satan had tricked Eve with. That the lie Satan had tricked Eve with. And you remember that God told Abraham, actually he told Abraham, and I'm not Abraham, but Adam. He told Adam, and I'm assuming Adam told Eve, because it doesn't say that God told Eve. It says he told Adam that in the day that you eat of the fruit, you shall surely die. That's what it says. And Satan came back and said, you shall not surely die, you'll be like him. And as we look at that and we say, well, they didn't die because they were kicked out of the Garden of Eden. But what does the Bible say that death is? Death is separation from God. And so that in the day that they ate of that, they did die. Because the very next time that God came walking through the garden, they had to hide themselves because they couldn't go near Him. And so they were separated from God. And so this rich man is separated from God. And he wants to tell others that they don't want to come here. And look at what Jesus is being the prophet, priest, and king that He is and was. Look at what He says. He's prophesying what's going to happen with Him. And He's telling them what's going to happen. Look what it says. It says, and He said unto them, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. He's talking about Himself. Now we do know that some are persuaded. We're sitting here with a room full of us. The scribes and Pharisees knew, some of them knew, but they refused to believe because they would have had to give up something. They would have had to give up their places of honor, their places of hierarchy. And when I was in college, there was a professor who said, people in positions of wealth and power will do anything to keep it. And that's what they did. The scribes and the Pharisees gave up heaven so that they could have power here on earth. Gave up heaven. You say, well, Brother Terry, I don't have to worry about that. I don't have any power here. I'm just a poor guy. You have power over whether or not you will accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. I've got a little brother that I love dearly. He's partially paralyzed. He was in a car accident and broke his back. And he suffers a lot from illnesses because of that. And one day I was sharing with him. I don't know how you feel about Satan and demons, but he said he's been attacked by them over and over again. He said he has physically seen them jump on his truck while he was driving. And I said, you need to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And because of his paralysis, he doesn't have control over a lot of things. And he said, I can't give up that control. He can't give up that control. And it breaks my heart. Because he's my brother and I can't reach him. All I can do is pray for him. And you see, that's this poor guy here. He says, just send him to my brothers. And Jesus said, if they won't listen to Moses and the prophets. And when he says, listen to Moses and the prophets, what's he talking about? He's talking about the Bible that they had at those days. That's the only Bible they had. Didn't have the New Testament, brother. They had the Old Testament. That was it, the Torah. He says, if they won't listen to that, he won't listen to one that comes from the dead. And he was prophesying about himself. Today, if you're here, I don't know everyone's heart that's here. I don't know your needs. I never want to preach God's Word and not give an altar call. I normally don't at our congregation on Sunday night simply because we've got four or five there and most of them are deacons. So, you know, they're going to have a hard time coming up there anyway. They shouldn't, but they would. But I don't know everyone's heart here tonight. I don't know what people are dealing with. And you know what? Most of all, I don't know what you're going to deal with this coming week. No one knew in this community about the little 10-year-old boy last night. No, the Holy Spirit knew. God knew. But no one here knew that. So my prayer is that you will be able to take something that was preached tonight and today to prepare you for this coming week. It wasn't fair that he had to die. It just wasn't fair. It wasn't fair that Lazarus had to live the life that he did. It wasn't fair that the rich man had to go into hell because as far as we know, he wasn't a bad guy. It doesn't say that he was. It didn't say that he was mean to Lazarus. A lot of things aren't fair. They really and truly aren't. But don't let unfairness keep you away from Jesus. I've heard people say, if God were real, why is there suffering in the world? I don't know, but I know God's real. Why is there suffering? I don't know. But I know that when we're suffering, God can get us through it. And He's the only way to get us through it. So tonight, I don't know what you're dealing with. I don't know if you just need to go to the altar and get strength from the Lord. I don't know if you need to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. I don't know what's needed tonight. But I'm going to turn it over to Brother Darrell. And whatever your decision, whatever you need to do, do it for Jesus tonight.